Hey, good evening. How y'all doing? Have you had a great first day? And have you been all over Kenyon College? And have you done some amazing things and had conversations with some really, really cool people? Okay. Yeah, I was here last night. How am I doing now? And have you been on footpaths and bike paths and sidewalks and roads? Have you been on all kinds of paths, on all kinds of journeys? Yeah. And now you've come to this place together to join in worship, to join in this community Vespers service. Thanks for being here. It's good to see you. I'm Evan Young. I'm the Ohio Meadville District Young Adult and Campus Ministry Consultant. I'm here with the other members of, well, some other members of your Ohio Meadville District staff, with Joan Van Biesler, our District Executive. And Tom Bodie, our Lifespan Faith Development Consultant, is that right? And we're awfully happy to be sharing worship with you this evening. And now that we're all gathered here together, I want to invite you deeper. Come into this circle of community. Come into this sacred space. Be not tentative. Bring your whole self. Bring the joy that makes your heart sing. Bring your kindness and your compassion. Bring also your sorrow, your pain. Bring your brokenness and your disappointments. Spirit of love and mystery, help us to recognize the spark of the divine that resides within each of us. May we know the joy of wholeness. May we know the joy of being together. May we light our chalice in joy. Thank you.
So if I have the mic down here, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Got a question for you. Have you ever felt like a teeny weeny itty bitty little tiny drop in a great big bucket? Have you ever felt like you knew that something had to be done and you knew what to do and everybody else thought you were all wet? Then I got a story for you. Once upon a time, there was a little drop of water named Higgins. And Higgins was no ordinary drop of water. He was a drop with a dream. And Higgins lived in a valley where it had not rained for a very long time. And so all the lovely green grass was turning all crackly brown. Can you do that with me? Crackly brown, yes. And all the beautiful flowers were wilting. And all of the proud trees had started to droop. Now, Higgins had a dream that one day the valley would be beautiful again, that the grass would be thick and green, and the flowers would be beautiful and bright and blooming, and the trees would be tall and proud. But what could he do? He was just a drop of water. So one day, Higgins decided to travel and tell all the others about his dream, and all the other drops listened very politely. But they didn't believe his dream would come true. Higgins, get your head out of the clouds. You cannot spend your life dreaming. But Higgins decided that he had to do something to make his dream come true. So he began to think. And one day, as he was thinking, he tripped over an old rusty bucket, and he had an idea. If enough of us drops of water got together in this here bucket, why, there'd be enough water that, well, maybe we could sprinkle it on some of the flowers, and oh, it could be beautiful again. So eagerly, Higgins went out and told all of the other drops of his great idea. But everyone thought he was being foolish. Oh, that Higgins is nothing but a dreamer. Well, Higgins decided that he had to do something to convince the others that he was right. And so he said, well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get in that bucket. And I hope that some of you follow me. Then there might be enough water to help some of those flowers become beautiful again. And so Higgins got his little legs under him. And as you can see from the picture, they're very little legs. So he got his little legs under him, and he ran as hard as he could, and he hopped way up in the air, and he landed kerplunk in that bucket. Just a drop in the bucket. And for a long time, Higgins was very lonely. It seemed like no one else was going to join him. But after a while, some of the other drops got to looking around, and they noticed that all the green grass was crinkly and brown, and that all the beautiful flowers had started to wilt, and that the tall, proud trees had drooped. And they agreed that something had to be done. So suddenly, one drop shouted, I'm going to go in that bucket with Higgins. And she got her little legs up under her, and she ran as hard as she could, and she leaped high in the air, and she went kerplunk right in that bucket with Higgins. And then two other drops said, "Hey, wait for us." And they ran as hard as they could and leapt high in the air, and they went kerplunk, kerplunk, right in that bucket. And then five more joined. Help me out here. Kerplunk, 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 kerplunk. And then 10 more joined. Kerplunk, 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 kerplunk. And then 30. No. And then 50, and then hundreds, and then thousands of drops all joined Higgins in that bucket. And soon the bucket was completely full, but more drops wanted to join him. And so they went out and found another bucket, and then another, and then 10 more, and then 20 more, and then 60 more, and then 100, and then hundreds, and thousands of buckets, all filled with water. And then along came a powerful wind, and it blew over all the buckets. And but they like it. They like this. This is good. This is good. Because all the water then joined together in a mighty river that flowed through the valley, and everywhere it went, the grass became green and lush, and the flowers were beautiful and blooming. And the trees stood up tall and proud once again. And all this happened because Higgins had a dream, and he made that dream come true. He knew that he was just a drop in the bucket, but enough drops in the bucket make a bucketful, and enough buckets, coupled with a powerful wind, can do wonderful things. Higgins knew that we were all in this together, and together we make a difference, and we can let justice flow down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. And that's the story of Higgins. And to make the point in a slightly different way, I have a short reading from Margaret Wheatley, a very well-known organizational development consultant. You didn't know this had an intellectual component to it, did you? She says that one of the most commonly heard phrases today is, "We are all in this together." From high-level leaders to local school board members to teenagers offering service, it is the mantra of our time. And that mantra makes visible what until lately has been invisible. Community, the web of our interconnections, the safety net of caring that we offer to one another when times are hard. And fortunately, she says, more people are discovering that humans can persevere when we're truly in it together.
Thank you.
try this at a slightly different angle. So how many of you have heard of our seventh principle? Hands, oh, okay, I see some, good. Our seventh principle tells us that we are all interconnected, right? That we're all in this together. That like Higgins, we have all kinds of other drops around us, working with us, caring for us. We have other members in our congregations. We have other congregations in our clusters. We have other clusters that make up the Ohio-Meadville District. We have sister districts that make up our Central East Regional Group. And then we have the whole darn Unitarian Universalist Association out there. And that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people, all cooperating with one another, all learning from one another, all in covenant with one another, all working together to nurture our spirits and help heal our world. No Unitarian Universalist stands alone in this world. No congregation stands alone in this world. We are all in this together. There's a growing spirit out there of covenant, of cooperation. It lives in our midst. There's a new spirit that enables us to come together as individuals and congregations and districts and regions and an association. It helps us step beyond our old boundaries, our old walls, our old ways of thinking. It helps us go beyond our familiar old rusty buckets of thought and reach out to one another to help heal the world. And this spirit lives here and now among us. We are not alone. And so I want to tell you another little story. It's about our religious ancestors. Since the early days of our Puritan ancestors, and oh yes, we are descended from the Puritans, we have made covenants with one another, promised one another, because we knew that we were all in this together. And maybe the greatest of these covenants was written back in 1646, that's quite a few years ago. Back then, the early Puritan churches of New England, our ancestors, were in danger of being taken over by the English Parliament. Parliament was trying to tell those churches how to organize, how to think, what to do, and our Puritan ancestors didn't like that one drop. And so they planned to tell Parliament to back off. But the churches also realized that if they were going to tell Parliament to back off, they also needed to come to some agreement among themselves about how they were going to work together to support one another in North America and how they might defend one another if Parliament decided to press the issue and come after them. And so they created what we call the Cambridge Platform. It was a covenant that said that each congregation was independent, autonomous. They had the right to choose their own leaders, own their own church property, ordain their own clergy, welcome their own members, and all the good stuff that we Unitarian Universalists know today as our congregational polity. But that was not all that platform said. It outlined a covenant of mutual agreement for all of the congregations and named six major ways in which they were supposed to help one another. The first promise was that they would always work for one another's welfare and the common good of all. The second said that when a church needed advice, they could ask for the counsel of other churches. Imagine asking somebody how to do something. They also said that if a church was going down a wrong path or doing something that was hurting it, and they didn't realize it, that other churches were to bring it to their attention and help them out. They also said that when members of one church visit another, they're welcomed, or when a minister is sick, then another church would loan them a minister for a while. And they said when one member of a church moved to another district, to a new church, that new church would welcome him as a new member. And finally, in that covenant, all churches offered financial support for the help of other churches that needed a little financial help now and then. Now, when a congregation became part of this New England group, it was expected to join in this covenant and live up to it with the other congregations. Now, in our Unitarian Universalist history, there have been times when we have remembered these ancestors, remembered the Cambridge Platform, and our covenant of mutuality, and there have been times, like more recently, when we forgot all about it. And I believe that we are now moving out of that time of disremembering when we forgot the lessons of the Cambridge Platform, and we're moving into a time when we know that we are all in this together. Not that long ago, we might publicly say we were part of a larger UU movement, but in practice, we acted like we were pretty much alone out there, like lone rangers, like drops in the bucket. But we live in a new age, an age of rapid and often confusing change. We live in an age when we know that we need our Unitarian Universalist values out there more than ever before. And we know that we need one another if we are going to be out there changing our world and if we are going to be more than just drops in the bucket. I believe that the only way that Unitarian Universalism is going to thrive in this new world is by building a strong, unified team. A team based on that knowledge that we're all in this together. In a reading, Margaret Wheatley said that we are all in this together. It's a mantra of our time. And we UU state in our seventh principle that we honor the interdependent web. And so tonight, I'm going to challenge you to live up to this. I'm going to challenge all of us here to live as if the principle, our seventh principle, really mattered. To work with others in our congregations, to work with other congregations in our clusters, and work with other folk in the district, and work with other UUs to build strong Unitarian Universalist teams as if the seventh principle really mattered, because it does, and it will matter more in the future days and years to come. So, how do we Unitarian Universalists become a team, other than all going out and buying the same t-shirt? Oh, and we got good t-shirts too, mind you. But it takes more. It takes work, commitment, and it's not easy. To create an effective team, we have to give up our overly strong love of individualism and truly embrace community. Can we do that? Amen. Can we get over ourselves? Can we stop focusing on private needs and open to a greater good that will benefit everybody? I believe we can. And to borrow a very popular political phrase, yes, we can. Yes, we can. So can we realize that in this interdependent world, if the least among us benefit, we all benefit, and if another suffers, we all suffer? Yes, we can. Can we let go of a need to blame or judge or scapegoat? You know, all of those thoughtless ways that we separate from each other and destroy team spirit? Yes, we can. Can we shift away from self-interest, self-protection, and do this everywhere? At work, at home, at school, in our congregations? Yes, we can. Can we give up our fear and exchange it for a living and thriving sense of generosity? Yes, we can. We're all in this together. Those New England ancestors knew it. In our congregational covenant, we don't need to think alike, we don't need to believe alike, we don't need to vote alike. But just like individuals come together for a congregation, our congregations covenant to one another to support each other in this exciting, chaotic, anxious, often crazy journey of Unitarian Universalism and transformational love. And even though there are times when you may feel like you are just a drop in the bucket, just sitting out there all alone, you are not. What you do as individuals affect all the members of your congregation. What your congregation does affects all of the congregations in the district. What the district does affects the health and vitality of all Unitarian Universalists in the continent and beyond. And the ministry of all of these other UUs out there affects you here. This new covenant is at work. You can see it around you. You can see the cooperation. When clusters of congregations from Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Columbus joined together last month to march in pride parades, you can see the covenant at work. You can see it with all the chalice lighters who are out there donating so congregations can do the kind of growth and outreach work that they want to. You can see the covenant at work. You can see it when folk from our Northeast Ohio churches gather to talk about green sanctuary and help each other with advice on eco-justice. You can see the covenant at work. You can see it when UUs from all across the country are going to Arizona at the end of this month to stand on the side of love for immigration reform. You can see the covenant at work. The web matters. We are all in this together. With Theodore Parker and Martin Luther King, we believe that the arc of the universe bends toward justice, but there is nothing automatic or easy about that process. The arc doesn't bend on its own. It requires us working together as a team. It takes a team to bend the arc toward justice. And so finally, for a long time, we UUs have lived as if we were Lone Rangers. As if we were lonely little drops in a great big bucket. But we live in a new age, a new time. Our drops are coming together to create a mighty river. And I believe we can live in a new way, building a new world, building a new team, if we truly know and believe, really believe that we are in this together. And surprisingly enough, our next song is Building a New Way. So please rise in body or spirit. Thank you.
You know what happens when one drop of water gets, when one little Higgins gets very, very cold, don't you? One. Oh, you get a snowflake. One snowflake is such a miracle, such a marvel. Four snowflakes, five snowflakes. The kids will be in the yard running. 100, 200. Well, the cars start slowing down, don't they? 1,000, 2,000. You can see where this is going. We are strengthened in coming together, joining with others, blending our efforts with those of the Unitarian Universalist congregation in the next town or the next state. Together, we are more than we could ever be alone. One congregation, one UU, is a miracle, is a marvel. As an association, we can help to create a wonderland, a world blanketed with love and justice, understanding, and hope. Thank you for being here. Peace. Blessed be.
Thank you. Is this hot? This is hot. Very good. Good evening. Thank you for disconnecting. Greatly appreciate that. Some of us are stronger than others, and that's okay. You know, we're UUs and accepting, so thank you. Is there an Eliza Hyde here this evening? Eliza, are you here? Is she here? Can you stand? No? Nonetheless, today is Eliza's 9th birthday. Yes. So, let us sing happy birthday to Eliza. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eliza. Happy birthday to you. And many more. I hope she was here to hear that. But nonetheless, it was there in spirit. We have another announcement, and that is from the small ensembles. Fun is for more than one. That's great. If you are musically inclined and want to join with their like-minded, with other like-minded folk, see Hal Dixler or Bob Erdman after Vespers, during meals, or after morning worship, and let's get some small ensembles going, because they're absolutely wonderful on Thursday and Friday evenings to join and listen to. And the person who this belongs to, if you're here, come on up. I know who the name is, and there's a photo ID, so you can't walk away with it. But if you obviously would recognize it, and if not, we'll hang on to it, because we're not going to put this in Lost and Found. There's too many valuables in it. And unless someone else has any more announcements, you have a question. Wednesday and Thursday, both days?
Yes, Jim Scott has already assigned which day.
Okay, and that information will be disseminated?
It's on the information wall
just outside of the cafeteria. Right. Any other questions? You didn't hear the answer? I'm sorry, Wednesday and Thursday. And check the wall, because individuals have been signed up, or it's been, check the wall for that, and you'll be able to get all the information you need. Sorry, I wasn't aware about it, so I don't know. But thank you, Amy. I can't believe this. There are no more announcements? This is great.
Wait,
oh my gosh, one more.
Is it what?
Okay. No, the movie is not on the outside in the wet grass. What we're going to do, fortunately, because it is a rear projection screen, we can put the screen right here on the edge, put the projector back there. We're going to pipe the sound through the house system. We got popcorn in the lobby. Please not throw it everywhere, because Ken and I have to clean it up afterwards, so we'd appreciate it if you just consumed it instead of using it as a toy. And then, of course, there's water and pop. So please join us at 9:30 for Star Trek, the most recent release, which is fantastic. It's got a bunch of new, fun actors and actresses. And just so you know, the person in the red uniform is gone. That's right. So look for the red uniform at the beginning of the movie. That's always fun to pick out. So that's it. Okay. Continue on with your evening. Thank you for coming.